Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Welcome back to the Talking Calcio podcast with Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier, and Nashville Total Sports' Claudio Villalobos. We caught up with Apple TV's MLS broadcaster Francisco Rivera, as he will be on the call this Saturday as Nashville SC travel to Columbus to take on the Columbus Crew. We also recap Nashville SC's CONCACAF Champions Cup first leg versus Inter Miami this past week.
How's it going?
Good. I mean, reacting to what Nashville did last night, which was a 0-0 draw to Inter Miami. I thought that game was a lot of fun to watch, a lot of fun to dissect. We'll get into a little bit more of that with this live show. But again, Nashville has a game coming up Saturday against Columbus on the road. That'll be an interesting one, and we've brought in the voice of that game to kind of break that down with us as well, Claudio.
That's right. We're going to bring right now with us Francisco Rivera. Francisco will be calling this game on Columbus this coming week. A very tough game for both teams, as it's always been. Columbus and Nashville don't know how to give each other a break since ever. And this is not going to be a different opportunity. Thank you, Francisco, for doing this. You know, we know you have a few minutes only with us, but that's something we really appreciate. How's it going for you?
Yes. So thanks for having me, guys. Yeah, I'm super excited to go back to Columbus. It's one of the towns that has a lot of history when it comes to U.S. soccer. That field has an excited atmosphere, especially the kind of game that we're getting. I mean, I've been getting, obviously doing the Nashville game opening night against New England. I saw what this team is about. I've been able to follow Nashville closely for a couple of seasons. I got to the Leagues Cup when they played Toluca, that amazing 4-3 game, one of the most exciting games, I think, in Leagues Cup. And I said, we don't have Messi, but we had, we had 7 goals, and it was such an exciting game with Hany Mukhtar going against Toluca's goalie, Thiago Volpi, who actually scored a PK in that game. And I've been able to follow Nashville the last couple of seasons, and as I said, including opening night. What an exciting team. And I've been selling a lot of people that I know who follow Liga MX don't follow as much of Major League Soccer now that we have CONCACAF Champions Cup coming up, now that we have Leagues Cup coming up. I tell everyone that this must be the most exciting and dangerous trifecta when it comes to attacking in North America. I mean, having Cristian Espinosa, having Sam Surić, having Hany Mukhtar, 3 guys that, it didn't take him too long to get to understand each other, get that chemistry going. And I think they're looking pretty good. And from what I saw in that game against New England, they also have a lot of luck. They had a lot of fortune. It's a team that, if you have the goddess of fortune going with you, they're going to do pretty well. So I think they're contenders. So I'm excited to see what these two teams are about Saturday.
Yeah, you mentioned just you had a lot of tape to look through from the Leagues Cup a couple years ago, and that team was managed under Gary Smith, so obviously a different style of play. BJ has a very attacking mindset when it comes to coaching this Nashville side. He's emphasized it a lot that wants to high press early on in the game, keep opponents uncomfortable. And we've seen in years past, Columbus is one of those teams that kind of keeps teams uncomfortable as well. What do you see the difference between a Nashville side and Columbus going into this weekend?
Well, it's going to be interesting because Columbus also has a new coach. I had a chance to talk to him today for the first time. They hadn't had a great start to the season. I mean, very unusual. As we know, Columbus is one of those teams that's always going to put pressure on you, that gets a good start. They're going to look for points this time around. And playing at home, they're going to figure out, a way to get some point. With that said, they're getting a Nashville team that can be as uncomfortable as they come. So I'm very excited to see, what to look for in Columbus. I think it's a team that's going to pressure, that's going to hustle. Obviously, when I look at the starting 11, one of my favorite players all time in this league is Diego Rossi. I was a voice of LAFC for 5 years, and I got to meet Diego when he first came from Uruguay. He was a young, kid, 20-year-old, without much hype, and all of a sudden he became one of the hottest tickets in Major League Soccer. He was sold to Turkey for a lot of money, then came back to the league. So that's the guy that I'm excited to see. And, even if I haven't called any Columbus games in a little bit, and now with a new coach, I can tell you Diego's a guy that you want to follow. You don't want him to escape, to be in space. You don't want to give him the ball in tight situations inside the box, because he's a guy that can break you anytime. He's got a lot of speed. He's got skill, good shot from long range. He can play both positions on the wing. He can play in the middle. So that's a guy. That's the first thing that I would see when you talk about Columbus and what they can do. Obviously, they have a lot of new players. They're still adapting, new coaches, I said. So I think Nashville's got to look for obviously the sure things. And one of those sure things for Columbus is Diego Rossi.
Francisco, one of the players that I've always loved to see and watch, even here or in Columbus, the time I got a chance was I always thought about him as one of the best players that ever showed up in MLS, Darlin Tognagbe. He's not going to be there. I still believe, even at his age, that's kind of player that anything will miss for a good while. What do you think about the possibility of actually Columbus replacing him on not only on the lineup, but also on the tactical drawing of his coach?
Well, there's one more thing, Claudio. The mental side of it, the leadership sense that, you know, Darlington brought to the team. And I think he reminds me a lot of another player that has been in this league for a long time, Diego Chara with Portland. Yes. And obviously Chara has been playing less season after season, but he's a guy that, you know, you felt that he was there because he likes to be physical. He likes to be in the trenches. He projects well when they attack. And that's a guy, then again, that you just can't replace. I mean, I had to go back, maybe getting too technical with baseball, but I don't know if you watched that movie Moneyball, where, you know, you can replace one guy with another guy, right? I mean, it's going to take a while. You're going to need to spend some money. But in the meantime, there's going to be a few bodies that you're going to have to try and see who's going to be the best fit, and maybe have a couple of different guys, you know, play into that role, maybe a few minutes for one guy, a few minutes for another. You know, definitely a guy like Darlington Nagbe will be missed. But then again, I think even more that when you see in the pitch, his leadership when it comes to the locker room, the vocal guy that he was, I think that's something that you can't replace in the market so easily. Because even if you bring a proven player, he has to fit the role. So then again, it's one thing is a name, but the other one is just making it happen in reality.
Yeah, you mentioned, you know, the movie Moneyball. I'm a big baseball fan. I love that movie, obviously. But looking at this Columbus side, you talk about, you know, the financial aspect of all this. A young player, hopefully I'm not butchering his name this bad, but Wassam Abu Ali, the Palestinian striker for Columbus, just already has 2 goals on the season with 1 assist. I mean, that's a pretty good start for a youngster. I feel like that's a viable option for Columbus going forward.
100%. And that's one of those guys that you don't have a lot of tape from. So, you know, he's got to take advantage of that, I think. And, you know, the better you start the season, the better. Because, you know, defenders are going to start catching up on you. And things are going to be different. The spaces are going to be tighter. And, you know, Columbus has lost a lot of big names in the last few years. And one of them that comes to mind, Lucas Alarayan. Obviously, a guy that's almost irreplaceable. He was playing for Tigres recently in Mexico. So they've had a lot of big names coming and going. And then again, I think it's a process. I think a lot has changed from that Columbus team that won the Cup back in 2023. Obviously, new coach with Wilfred Nancy leaving. And he was such a great fit coming from Montreal, where he didn't have a lot to work with. And he did an amazing job with Montreal to get into a place that had more resources. And he showed what we can do. I think it's going to take a little bit for this Columbus side to get a grip, to get an identity, and for us to see what kind of team we're going to expect, right? And one of the things that I can recall well from my conversation with Coach Rindstrom earlier today was he said he wants his team to be like a rock band, right? He wants them to be disciplined. He wants them to be tight. He wants to have that chemistry that every time they show up, you know, they're going to deliver. And that's, I think, one of the things that where they have to start, obviously, especially with a new coach with so many new pieces. I think it's hard to think that you're going to have that magic wand and you're going to show up and everything is going to be working perfectly, like a rock band or an orchestra or whatever you name it. So it's going to take a little bit. So I'll be very interested to see how they match up with Nashville, because as we know, Nashville is a proven commodity. We already know what they're about. BJ Callahan has had, you know, last season also to be able to work with this team. After he replaced, obviously, Gary, you know, a season and a half ago, you name it. So, yeah, we already know what they're about. So I think for Columbus, then again, trying to get those 3 points at home, trying to get back into the win column at the same time, doing it again against a team like Nashville, you know, a team that to me will be a contender this season, I think it's going to be a huge W in their book.
Yeah, and also with the center back position for Nashville, another guy that doesn't have much tape on him in the MLS realms of it all is Maxwell Wolitzy. Last night, if we had to give a man of the match for media members, he definitely was one of those guys that was closing down space. We got to talk with him after the match, and he was so humble about the way he plays. And that's something when you look at both center backs for Nashville, Palacios and Wolitzy, they both close space down incredibly well. Like, they're not afraid to take a defender an attacker one-on-one, man-to-man. Whereas in MLS, it's kind of tough to find a really good 1-2 punch. And I think that's something Nashville has developed this past offseason. And the fact that they can quickly go into transition is what makes them such a difficult team to play against.
My brother, Wolitzy, what a player. I mean, he showed up early that game. And he was so aggressive. And I remember teams, out of frustration, New England fouling him a few times. And him, you know, building from the back and being aggressive and even getting close to midfield and sometimes even getting across the line and joining the attack. He's a guy that, as you said, we didn't have much tape on him. But when I saw him, I was like, man, this guy's special. And he could be a special guy for Nashville. One of the first questions I asked BJ when I did the coaches call with him, also being with LAFC, I got to work a lot with Walker Zimmerman. And I know what he meant to the league. And that's the first thing that I asked him, how do you replace a guy like that? What does he mean to you? And he's like, we know what he has been for us. We know what he means to the league. But, you know, we appreciate his contributions to Nashville and to our team. But we're going to have to move on. And, yeah, I think they got a good one with Wolitzy. Now we have to see obviously him throughout full season. As I said, when you don't have much tape of player, things work a little better for you until they start catching up on you and then decipher what you can bring to the table. But man, I think, as I said, he has a big presence. He's reckless in a good way, I guess, or fearless, maybe it's a better way to put it. And I think he can be a great addition for this team because, as I said, not only defending, but building from the back, joining the attack every once in a while, playing set pieces. I think he can be the full package, at least from what I saw. I know it's a small sample size, but right. You know, I have to get excited for everything I see. Then again, it's my job to hype things up in a good way. And yeah, if you want to stay positive, I think he's a guy that can be in Nashville for a while.
Last night, Maxwell, we were talking to him in the media scrum, and I think I was the one that asked him the question of, you know, what, coming from a background of a 3 at the back that you played in Norway, coming to a 4 at the back with BJ, he said that was one of the key things that he wanted to kind of come to the MLS for, was to play a 4 at the back under a system behind BJ Callahan. And I thought that was just so telling, because when a guy comes from a 3 at the back and you play as that third center back on the left side, you have all full jurisdiction to take that whole left flank. And he still does that at the center back position for Nashville and the small sample size we've seen this season. And it's so impressive to the way he's had such a small amount of time to adapt to the system and absorb it like a sponge. And it takes a rare player in some aspects to do.
I think it takes a lot of trust. And when you have a guy like Lovett that attacks so much, he's one of my favorite players to see. Obviously, both wingbacks, with Andy, who I know really well on the right side, and Lovett on the left. He's one of those guys that is also very fearless joining the attack, but he's a very good two-way player. And I think it takes a lot of trust. It takes a lot of chemistry, because you're like, okay, if my left back is going to join the attack, where do I position myself? How much do I push forward? And I think that's one of the things that they're going to have to decipher. And then again, getting that trust together. But from what I saw in that first game, it's kind of like they had it. It's kind of like we've been playing together for a couple of years. So yeah, I think they got a good situation in the back. So I think my main concern, I think for Nashville, if there's a concern, would be how many goals can they score with the type of attack that they have.
That was fun, man.
That was a blast. And the crazy thing about all this, Claudia, we have about, I'd say, 14 minutes in change to kind of give a little recap of Nashville SC, or we can kind of just dive right on into it and go a little over, which I'm okay with. I really want to get your thoughts on the 0-0 draw in the first leg of the CONCACAF Champions Cup. And kind of what, you know, Francisco was talking about with Nashville's defense, they shut Messi down. They shut all of Inter Miami down for the most part. I think that's a huge point of emphasis. And I asked BJ the question in the post-match press conference, just about closing down that space at the top of the 18. And he was like, yeah, that was a part of the game plan going into practice this past week. And, you know, it will be a game plan going forward. He didn't say that part, but I kind of felt that coming from him that that's going to be a continuous thing. And with that being said, Claudio, I have a feeling Inter Miami is going to now expose the flanks or try to spread the ball out wide instead of go through the middle.
But then most probably BJ will have an answer for that as well.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, how many of us in the press box when we saw the starting lineup were surprised a little bit? Not because of the quality of the players. I mean, really now. I mean, of course not.
It's fair.
Corcoran and Warren Madrigal and, was that another one? Third one?
Reed Baker Whiting at left back.
Yeah, well, I mean, nothing about the players at all. It's just that it was surprising because of the way the players, the replacement play in the last game.
Yeah.
Such a good game as well. And so you go, well, wait a second. I mean, they play such a good game because one of the mantras in football, and I'm not sure if it works in all the other sports, Nick, is that if it worked, don't change it. Don't touch it.
Yeah. If it ain't broke, well, don't fix it. That's what they say.
That's what it is. And BJ either doesn't believe in that or he thinks, nah, that's not for me. I'm going to just do what I need. But I do understand now better than I understood before the game why he probably did that. Because the job that perhaps two of the guys did exactly right there, closing the very front of the box,
yeah,
Jasbeck and Corcoran, was awesome. And that prevented Messi, we saw it all game long, from doing what he does best. He's avoiding the contact on the first guy and then taking the shot with the left. When he was getting ready to do that, there was always somebody there, right there, you know, interchanging. It's Jasbeck on the left, Corcoran on the right, or vice versa, every right. single time. And that was just something awesome to see. The other part, which is just as good, is to see that Nashville was able to create opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's too bad that they didn't actually take advantage of at least one or two of those. But the team was able to do that many, many times during the game, especially in the first half. So, I mean, if this team, and I'm going to just mention this because we're going to talk a little about this game at this point, this team is able to actually keep doing the same stuff and conquer one or two goals, they're going to be in the quarterfinals for sure.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
And the off-the-ball movement for Nashville, if they weren't in possession or if they were in possession, and one guy I'll just reiterate is Warren Madrigal. And even Francisco was impressed with that guy. I know he's a Costa Rican, so you and Madrigal have something in common there. And the guy plays like a true veteran. I know I've mentioned that on previous episodes, but overall, his off-the-ball movement – I was impressed with the one key play that sticks out to me in my brain. I think it was around the 65th minute, give or take, where he was holding up play. He had his back to goal, like he was going to receive the pass, and the pass was coming in pretty quick.
Yeah.
He ends up opening up his hips, makes literally a loop turn around the defender, and guess who has the ball? Sam Surridge. Sam Surridge had the ball in front of him, and he continued to play forward, and then Warren Madrigal kind of weeded off to the side, and that's when he kind of received the pass that way. To me, that was genius. It baited the defender to say, oh, he's been very aggressive all game. He's been winning aerial duels. He's been beating defenders off the ground, past the back line. You have to play him true to the game. You can't cheat the system because if he's too small or if he can't do this, do that. He was doing everything that a big man would do. So then you have to play him honest. And guess what happened? It opened up to opportunities, and unfortunately, Nashville couldn't capitalize on any of those. But overall, I thought it was a really good overall assessment of a guy like Warren Madrigal.
It was. I mean, it was a key performances for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, and how many times we can say here that a game like this, which, well, Nashville didn't win, it was a tie.
Right.
It was kind of unfortunate that they didn't score the winning goal at least. But how many times when Nashville has a good game against any team, We can say that at the same time, Hani Mokhtar has a sort of an off night. That's difficult because usually when Nashville has a good game, Hani Mokhtar is one of the key principal figures. And not that he didn't try; he tried all game long. But as the same, perhaps different. Of course, there are different stuff that we can talk about. But the same good job that our defenders, the midfield and defenders, did against Messi,
mm-hmm.
did Miami did against Mokhtar in this opportunity for sure. And you know they. They kept it at the attention on him. They knew something. We know something too because we see him training and playing as well. Mm-hmm. And they were able to to kind of shut him down a little bit. He didn't have the game that he always does, especially not before, not the last, like the last one. And so it's kind of amazing. I was thinking about it today. It's like, well, how many times we've seen Mokhtar has a so-so game like this one, and still Nigel showed so much improvement.
I mean, I'm going to have to disagree with you, Claudio. I don't think he had a bad game or an okay game. I thought
you were going to disagree with me.
Well,
then I'm going to ask you a question.
I thought.
I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
Nashville nullified Messi?
Nullified him?
Messi?
Yeah.
Well, how come if Nashville was able to do that, you cannot say and admit the same thing on the other team?
Hold up. Mokhtar. I have yet to say my piece of what I was going to say. You're already at your question. Can I say my piece real quick? Thank you very much. I think Hani Mukhtar had a really good game against Inter Miami, primarily because the off-the-ball movement, Claudio, the off-the-ball movement is what makes this team good, or actually makes this team great. I mean, it takes them from an okay team in MLS to a upper echelon team in MLS. They're up there in the Eastern Conference. Like, if they're not one, they're definitely two. And they're tied on points for right now, if I'm not mistaken. The way they play with the ball not at their feet, it's the situational positioning on the field. That's where Hani Mukhtar is at his best in the later 20s into his early 30s. Players evolve. You know this, Claudio. We've been around the game long enough. Andrea Pirlo, a player that just sends balls left and right. I'm obviously going to make some Italian soccer references here because that's the players I grew up watching. The Gennaro Gattuso's, his game kind of changed a little bit. Sure, it had a short shelf life because of his aggressive, you know, style in the midfield. But then you look at guys like Hani Mukhtar, who have kind of evolved their game into being not just a focal point anymore of scoring every single night and depending on goals from him. Now you have core pieces. And even Francisco mentioned this 20, 30 minutes ago, that this team has other pieces minus Hani Mukhtar. And that's why I see so much value in a guy like Hani right now. I would say his value is a little bit more now than it was when he was an MVP level.
Yeah, but you changed what I said.
Hang on.
You're telling me it's like if I was saying that Nashville is, I mean, like Mukhtar, which I said it myself, is not a key piece of this team. Yes, it is.
He is.
I actually said in the last podcast I said it very correctly. I'm not saying if I said it at the end of one of the games or in the last podcast, that Hani is a better player today than he was when he was a scorer.
You have said that. Yes, you've said that.
I believe wholeheartedly. He was not able to do all that this week game because of Miami. I'll take anything for anybody against it. The same thing, Messi was not able to do what he always did against this team because of the tactical drawing that BJ was able to put last night on that field.
I think
that's just the facts. That's
facts.
I mean,
but don't.
Know, I'm not saying he got a bad game. I just say he didn't have his game.
Right.
He wasn't able to produce like he probably did on the game before.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, but I'm not saying trying to put the. Not the blame, but the solution. I'm trying to say, like, not trying to put all the glorification on Hani Mukhtar. He's the reason why, you know, Messi didn't have a great game. I think it's more on the midfielders, Claudio. I think it's more on.
No. You're getting confused with what I said. I never said that Hani Mukhtar is the cause of Messi having an off game.
No.
I said both of them have not the game we're used to see him because of the way each team took care of them. Individually.
I got you. Okay. That makes more sense. Yeah.
You know, I mean, in my opinion, if a team makes Hani have a game last night, any team, not just Miami, most probably Nashville will be closer to losing that game than winning it. That's my point. The same thing happens to Messi. If teams are able to handle him like Nashville did last night, Miami is less close. I mean, it's farther away from a victory than when Messi does whatever he wants.
Okay.
Orlando is a good example.
Yeah.
Orlando had him a hold for 45 minutes. They let him go in the second half, 4-2.
Yeah.
It's just that those players, that's the quality they have.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm indifferent on your assessment on Hani Mukhtar.
Yeah, me that you agree with that Nashville did a good job against Messi, but you don't say the same thing against about the other guys. I don't know. That's just amazing.
Wait a minute. Okay. Wait a minute. I am
did
saying
Miami did a good job containing Mokhtar or not.
Yeah.
Well, then that's it.
Oh, I see.
That's my point.
I thought you meant Nashville against Messi. You're talking about Inter Miami and Hani Mukhtar. Oh no, then I strongly disagree. I strongly disagree. Like I just said earlier, the off-the-ball movement that Hani did, it created more rooms for Espinoza, created more room for, not Aspinall, I'm thinking of Darts, sorry. It created more room for Madrigal. It created more room for Surridge. Again, it's not on Hani Mukhtar that this team did not capitalize on their opportunities. Maybe one of them. There was one of them. I take it back. There's one by the press box that we did see. Hani could have scored on the back post there. Did not do that. I'd say more of it is on Sam Surridge, Madrigal, Espinoza to finish some of those opportunities. Hani Mukhtar did enough off the ball movement and positional awareness on the field to drag defenders away, key defenders away from Inter Miami's defense and their scheme to allow them to score.
Well, I have news for you though.
Okay.
And I you know how I respect your opinion.
Okay.
You might agree or disagree.
Sure.
That's no problem at all. As much as we might disagree on something, we still like each other and like to talk about soccer all the time. But I talked to only two people today, and they both said the same thing. It's too bad that Hani was not the same. And I said to them, it's not that Hani wasn't the same. He tried to be the same. The other team didn't allow him. That's what you do against great players.
I just think
you nullify them and make you force other guys, and you're right, I agree with you. You force other guys to actually take the reins.
Yeah, they take the bait.
Yeah, Madrigal, even Soares played a very good game yesterday. Even Muil, when he came in,
mm-hmm.
he missed a couple of chances, I believe, one kind of clear.
Yeah.
Because the factor that is always behind, he wasn't really present just last night. And the Messi factor was not there either last night. If Miami was going to win last night, they had to do it in a different route. That's what it seems to me. I don't know. That's
yeah,
what,
no,
that's
you're,
what I thought I saw.
You're right. And that kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier about Nashville taking away the opportunities for Messi and Inter Miami at the top of the 18. I think I counted at halftime, Nashville had six key defensive blocks, saves, clearances at the top of the 18. And then I think after the game or after the match, it was, I want to say 11. I have to go back and look at my numbers, but I believe it was 11. So 11 key, deflections, slide tackles, recoveries, so forth. All those things fall in that defensive category statistic. That 11 of them against an Inter Miami team and holding them to no goals, I think is fantastic.
That was a good one.
Just saying. I'm just saying. But overall, I'm gonna have to agree to disagree with you on Hani Mukhtar. I think Hani had a very good game.
I mean,
he's in a different.
It's not gonna be the last one.
I know.
He's not going to be the last time.
I'm just saying he's at a different part in his career now where he is no longer the focal point of the offense. This is a system now. It's not Hani Mukhtar versus the world. This is a B.J. Callahan system that requires him.
That's where you're taking me wrong. That's where you're taking me wrong. I'm not saying that Hani Mukhtar is the focus of Nashville.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that because of what Miami did to him, he was not able to play his game last night. Whatever his game is, whatever you describe, he wasn't able to do it, which he's done it before. He did it against New England, and he did it against
Dallas. Last game? Dallas, Ottawa.
What?
One of those two.
Yep.
Not
this time.
That's where I disagree with you. Is that this season specifically, the off season into this upcoming season that's currently underway, Hani Mukhtar is playing a completely different style of soccer. So to basically get a grade off of what he's doing currently, off of his current form, I think he had a great game. I'm not saying it was fantastic, like all-star material, but for the way the system works under B.J. Callahan, I think Hani Mukhtar had a great game because it opened up opportunities for other people. I know you agree with me on that. I know you agree with me on that. I know you think I'm interpreting it differently, but I'm saying the Hani Mukhtar of this season, from the way he's been playing since match day one up to now, I think has been fine.
Well, let me just finish saying this. In principle, you and I, when we talk about Hani Mukhtar, we agree completely, 100%.
Sure.
In principle. And the fundamentals of what he's doing this season.
Sure.
we disagree on what he did last night, not because of him, but because of the way Miami took handle him. Again, I compare that exactly, pretty much similar to what Nashville did against Messi. It's not easy. What Nashville did last night is not easy.
No.
It's not easy at all. A lot of teams are trying here and everywhere. And they were, I mean, really, honestly, let's put the question up there. Where was Messi last night? Isn't that a good question?
It is.
Well, Messi was being taken care by Nashville.
True.
And they won it. They won that battle.
Yeah, and again, it goes to what, you know, Javier Mascherano mentioned, and along with BJ Callahan in the press conference, post-match press conference, they both said, we've played each other, what, 5 to 6 times, 6 to 7 times in the last 3 months? We know each other very well. And so it's like a chess match. It's like, who's going to make the wrong chess move? And again, that's what they're doing. They're both playing chess. The second leg of this matchup in the round of 16 will take place March 18th at 6 p.m., in Fort Lauderdale, so that will be an interesting one. I thought it was kind of telling that Javier Mascherano, after I asked him the question about just the way Warren Madrigal was playing aggressive, he said at the very end, we're going to need our fans, talking about Inter Miami, our fans to get us over to the next round of the CONCACAF Champions Cup, which I found very telling.
Mascherano said very clearly yesterday when I asked him, I agree. That was the main question, and both of them answered pretty much the same thing. I mean, they know each other so well that I asked him, I mean, how is it going to take them for you to win? And he said, well, this game, the winner of this series is going to be decided in the details.
Yeah.
You know, details. Maybe, I don't know if he meant or included their errors, mistakes that might happen in one of the other teams, you know, one team or the other. But he said, that's what it's going to be. The details of that game is going to cause what's going to be who goes to the quarterfinals. And that's how it's easy to, how it's difficult to analyze, in my view, Nick. What details do you think that might be involved in that game?
For this weekend? Or just Inter Miami in general?
Inter Miami, just to finish with that part.
The details.
It's tough, isn't it?
It is tough. I mean, I would say for Inter Miami, their details would be just first touch. And also spreading out Nashville wide. That's something I think Mascherano kind of, you know, gave a little bit of context to at the post-match press conference, was just talking about how Nashville was able to kind of overlap their runs and spread us out wide. He's kind of saying maybe we do that back to them. That's what I interpreted out of that.
I'm with you. I mean, just I don't know, Ken, and let's put it that way. Let's go back to the two players that we just discussed so much about today, which is, I enjoyed very much with you, Nick. Who is better off to pass to the quarterfinals? A team like Miami with an off night like Messi's last night or Nashville? What do you think?
I'd say Nashville. I'd say Nashville. I would say Nashville, hands down.
I agree with you. So I'm all with you.
And the reason
Messi
being?
Messi cannot have an island line. If they're going to beat Nashville there, Messi has to go back to his old sin, and I'm not sure Nashville's going to allow that.
And the reason being, I could be 100% wrong on this. Please correct me if I'm wrong. If there are listeners that listen to this and I am wrong, please correct me. I'm going to go out on a limb and say Nashville has a deeper squad than Inter Miami right now. Health-wise, that's what I'm saying. Health-wise, Nashville has a stronger and deeper roster right now. So if I had to pick a team to go into the next round, I'm taking Nashville.
Especially in the midfield, doesn't it? Really?
100%. And again, the risk that BJ takes with his 4-2-2 system is interesting because coming out of the back, even on goal kicks, and also when you're building out of the back as well, they stretch out those center backs pretty wide. To the point where it forces Inter Miami to bring some forwards up to kind of press on them a little bit to take away some of those out exterior passing lanes. And what does Nashville do? They pass it through the middle and they kind of hourglass it a little bit. They go middle, and then they spread it out wide to the top of the attacking third out to Espinoza or Madrigal. Nonetheless, it sounds easy when I mention it that way. But the dissection of how he's able to get to these players passing-wise on the passing lanes, I think is another reason why I would take Nashville over Inter Miami. Nonetheless, I get Inter Miami is tactically sound. I get that.
Sure.
But if Nashville is going to win in the second leg of Inter Miami, you know, we've seen a little bit. You talk about the BJ grit. We're going to have to see a lot of grit from this Nashville side.
I believe so. I mean, you know, one of the things that I was listening to as we speak with that is about the game last night. There are some people saying exactly in a little bit different than with the way you do, because they said that Miami is, if they want to pass over this team, they're going to have to actually spread the ball even more and forget so much about making, trying to funnel their attack through the middle with Messi. They're going to have to do it a different way, so that then they need to try to spread Nashville out in defense to kind of get that wall, that little wall that you were talking about right there in the front area, so that perhaps Messi and somebody or some of the other guys can take advantage of. But if the game goes a little bit or similar to what happened last night, I do believe that Nashville has a big shot of winning.
Yeah, and kind of quickly transitioning to Saturday's match, and for those listening on 102.5 The Game on Saturday mornings, yeah, it'd be for the tonight listening to it. Nashville going up against a Columbus side that is winless right now. I mean, is that a scary
side?
Is
one of those games, Nick? Before you say that, is this one of those games that doesn't matter what the record of the team says, is a whole different chapter?
It's exactly,
whole different thing.
Yep, that's exactly what I was about to say. A lot of people call these trap games, meaning, you know, like these teams that don't have great records. Nonetheless, it is at the very beginning of the season. So a small sample size from all teams. But when you look at this Nashville side and say, oh, this is a well-oiled machine, they shouldn't have any problem going against Columbus. No. Well, then look at Columbus. Their backs are against the wall. You heard Francisco earlier say they have a new coach. Definitely new system is being put in place. You have a lot of young players. The one player that I mentioned, Ali, not a lot of tape on him in MLS. So guess what? You're going to have to figure him out on the fly.
But what better than, if you're not having a good season this early, sadly anyways, but what better to do than to turn it around, beating one of the best teams in the East Conference right now?
Yeah, it would be. And if Nashville were to lose this game on Saturday, yikes. That's going to be one of those games you'd think, man, I wish I had that back. Because nonetheless, those 3 points, you're going to be looking down the line and be like, I wish we had those 3 points when it comes down to playoff seeding. We're going to need those. We're going to need them. So let me refrain that. Not we. They're going to need them. Nashville is going to need them. There's a big to-do about the wee thing. I got to stop doing
that.
Yeah.
That happens often. Don't worry
about it. It does. It's the inner fan in me.
And now you said that, here's a good question, I believe.
Okay.
Let's just say, for the sake of argument, that Nashville were to lose that game, which, again, it would not be. In my case, I don't think that they would. I don't think I think they're the better team,
right away. Right.
For sure. But if they were to lose the game, it's not going to be the first one they lose in Columbus. No.
Nah.
In several through the years. But would that be, at the end of the road, like you just mentioned, more important losing 3 points in Columbus or the two that they missed in Dallas? What do you think?
I'd say the three in Columbus.
Really?
Yeah, because the game in Dallas.
Remember they had it. They almost had it.
I know where
Christian said.
Yeah, I know where you're going with this.
Said it.
He did say that. No, I would go Columbus because I think the game in Dallas, Nashville is still trying to figure each other out. I'm not talking about chemistry wise. I'm talking about just systematically. I mean, when you run a 4-3-3 that you really haven't run much before with this Nashville side under BJ, I don't think at all. Maybe once in the last season and a half, maybe they've ran a 4-3-3 once. Now, nonetheless, they do go into a 4-3-3 defensively. Attackingly, no. You don't see that often through them. But trying to adjust to a Matt Corcoran, Yazbek tag set in the middle, I think it does no good for a team like Nashville because it takes away your midfield depth. You're having to play another midfielder, and you're thinking, oh, boy, like these guys all have heavy legs. Who's on the bench? Charles Emile Brunette? Uh-oh. Thomas Williams? Uh-oh. Again, those are not bad players. I'm just saying they're not ready for MLS quite yet.
I have a very last topic that, well, I know we cannot extend too much about
it.
I just want to mention it and just take a couple of ideas and also ask you about this. It seems to me, seems to me that most of our Nashville soccer fans do not understand how more important the CONCACAF champion is than the MLS Cup.
Yeah, it's the Champions League of North America.
And saying stuff, they just don't understand. This is not, I mean, they have to realize that in baseball, the major victory is the World Series.
Yep.
For sure.
Yep.
They have to understand, I mean, I understand that in NFL, the Super Bowl obviously is. The NBA, the championship obviously is. In soccer, the national championships are not. They are the, of course, you want to win the competition, it's your competition. But anything outside of your own country is always more important, historically anyways. It's not something that yeah. is made up just because now Nashville is playing. CONCACAF and what happens after the CONCACAF and after you win it, whoever's won it before, made a whole difference and brings that particular soccer club into a elite of teams in the world, not just in the United States, which is the MLS,
right?
That will really show. I mean, it's kind of, and I'm not saying this in any particular wrong way. It's just to clarify why you need to understand as a fan that the CONCACAF Champions is way more important to win than the MLS Cup.
Yeah.
That's just a fact, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it's the Champions in Europe, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the equivalent to the Champions League in Europe. You're absolutely right. People don't, again, last year when Nashville won the U.S. Open Cup, I equated it to the FA Cup in England, yes, which is what it is. It's the domestic cup.
The Italy Cup.
Yeah, it's the Coppa Italia of MLS play or just North America in general. People can't really grasp that for some reason. And then you go look at, you know, the CONCACAF Champions Cup, it's the Champions League of Europe. You're spot on, Claudio. And people last year, when they were looking at the U.S. Open Cup, you know what they equated it to? The NBA in-league tournament. That's how they equated it to it. Would you say it's fair?
You know, the reason why I bring that up also is because I hear a fan saying, well, I mean, BJ doesn't really need to start the starting lineup per se
right.
in these games. Quite the contrary. That's where he needs this team to start the starting lineup in this particular game for the CONCACAF because of several reasons. First of all, is most important tournament. Second, the MLS Cup is just starting. There's plenty of more games to play the rest of the season.
Yeah.
There is only one more game or a few more games to play to try to win the CONCACAF Champions. Just right. a few of them. And you know, that's just simple as it is. So if you are kind of doubting about it, or you can remain in your position if you're listening to me or listening to what we're saying. That's fine. It's respectable. But that's just not the way it is. Simple.
You're absolutely right. 100%, Claudio. 100%. I
mean, what about you? If I always gave you a choice, because it's not that easy as that, you want Nashville winning just one this season, the CONCACAF Champions on the MLS Cup, which one would you take?
Well, I'm on record on Nashville radio on 102.5 The Game saying that Nashville SC does win another trophy.
Yeah, but I'm asking you to choose.
I know. It's the CONCACAF Champions Cup. I think they get it done this year against Inter Miami in the second leg. It's going to be tough, but it's going to be done.
100% with you. I mean, that would be just big.
And look, be huge. If they don't, the League's Cup.
Yeah. I mean, just to let you know, not you, but because I know you know about this, mm-hmm. but just to let the fans know, there are plenty of teams with a long history, huge history, in the CONCACAF region that would love to have a CONCACAF title.
Only Absolutely.
One, they haven't. They have fought for them for years. They have won.
Yeah.
Just like there's plenty of teams in Europe, huge teams, they never won the championship. Right.
And people don't understand the amount of money that comes involved with this. Like teams that win the Champions League in Europe, what about the teams that win the CONCACAF Champions Cup here in the United States? That's good. Something to keep an eye on. It brings more awareness to the club, brings more awareness to the city. It brings more money and more revenue. Everybody loves money. Again, not trying to sound greedy, not for anybody else, but guess what?
This is a business.
It's a business.
It's a business after all.
It is. That's what it is. A club is an investment. For the people that are owners of Nashville SC or whoever it is in other areas, it's a business. That is what they're there for. They're a trading chip.
I mean, taking your words, I'm happy you brought them up. winning in Columbus this Saturday, as good as it would be, as mm-hmm. great as it might be for the rest of the season, doesn't give Nashville $1 million, does it?
No.
Winning in Miami, it does.
It sure does. Got to think about it. You're right. You're right. Well, Claudio, I think we've wrapped it up here, man. Another fun, eventful live broadcast of the Talking Calcio podcast.
Feisty, I might add.
It was a little feisty. It was a little feisty. Plug all your stuff here, Claudio. Where can people find all your information, along with this is your stuff, but also myself as well?
But man, we are in Nash Total Sports in Twitter. We're also in Atospo in Facebook. Of course, a lot of our stuff is published at our webpage, NashvilleTotalSport.com.
Mm-hmm. And you can find all the audio on 102.5 The Game, The Game National Sports Network, on the Talking Calcio podcast, on the Game National Sports Network podcast. You can catch the pre and post game live shows with Claudio Villalobos and myself. It's always a fun time doing these, Claudio. And you can catch this live every Saturday morning, as you're listening to now, probably on the Game National Sports Network from 6 a.m. to 7. So
we'll do it again, Nick.
We will. We will do it again. And plenty more of these to come as the season continues.
Nos vemos.
Ci vediamo.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the States in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.